Golf Club as we approach a terrific day at Rose Hill.
Racing HQ is brought to you by Tabs. Bet you'll love a $175,000 projected Big Six Fall at Rose Hill Gardens today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio now presents Racing HQ, setting up your racing day with race news, interviews, track reports, previews and tab markets.
And it just goes 7 o'clock, and welcome to those tuning in or listening to us wherever you are. You're listening on Sky Sports Radio, watching us on Sky, whether it's Sky Racing 1 or Sky Thoroughbred Central. For the next couple of hours, we'll have it all for you as we count down to San Domenico Day. Running through the track reports, Rose Hill is a good 3, beautiful weather coming up, Penetrometer 4.51. Newcastle, they've had a little bit of rain in the last 48 hours. On the Beaumont, we're starting at a soft 6. Gold Coast, it's a soft 5, but fine. And Moonee Valley, partly cloudy day down there, a good 4. Penetrometer 4.72 for Carline Day, and the rail is true. So they're the key reports for our major meetings. And Ron Duffersey and Mike Fraser now join us. Morning to you, Duff. Welcome to San Domenico Day.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew, and really looking forward to it as well because, you know, we've had 1 3-year-old put his hand up so far, Minari. What's going to happen today? Is it going to be Parade? Is it going to be Condor Heroes? Is it going to be one of the fillies? Who knows? There might be an upset. But we've got a good 3-day. Punters love to bet on a good 3. And a 6-metre rail, so a hard track 6-metre rail. Just have a little peek at things early just to see if you can make up ground. But interesting to hear Mike's thoughts on that.
Chris Toogood told us that the penetrometer for the meeting 2 weeks ago, I think, was around 4.52 when the rails are 3, and it goes out to 6 metres with a pano of 4.51 today. And Mike Fraser is online. Morning to you, Mike.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ronnie. Great to be here. 2 weeks in a row, we've got a firm track, beautiful weather, great racing, some races with plenty of value, and I think there's a few shorties there. That I was listening to Ronnie on Thursday night. I agree with him. There's a few shorties that should win, so all in all, it looks to be a super day's racing. The track, 6-metre rail, well, I mean, if we had Randwick last week, they put it up a good 3 and they ran, even allowing for the win, the track was very fast. So I would think that this track's going to be pretty dry today, apart from the irrigation that they put on the track through the week. I think it's going to play firm. They'll run probably quick times. And I think you're right, Ronnie, with a 6-metre rail, it may be a little bit hard to make up ground, especially in a few of these races where I'd say 3 or 4 of the races, it doesn't look to be a lot of pace either.
Yeah, that's what it all comes down to, the speed of the race, I would have thought. And just trying to remember back a fortnight ago, it probably got worse as the day unfolded. Not worse, but I mean, a little bit harder to make up ground. It wasn't bias, it was just running fast times, that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
They put 10 on for the week, and the last of that, a couple went on late Wednesday afternoon in preparation for today. It's a week ago, I know, but what about not only Winks, but what about the times? The firm track, obviously, with the weather we had, but that howling wind that blew, Duff, the records kept tumbling.
Yeah, I'm getting to a stage where you've probably got to put up a W next to their name when it's windy like that for track records, because I think the last 3 times we've had track record days, it's been all revolves around the wind. So are they legitimate track record holders? I suppose they run the time, but and it's an outdoor sport, but maybe there should be a little flag there saying, well, it was wind assisted, you know.
Well the time, any time that they run a track record anywhere, the track is invariably not based on you know, being the dry surface. It's always like 2 seconds quicker than a normal standard track, so they are assisted by the firmness of the track. But as you say, they've still got to run the time. But if they sort of realign them back to a track speed, that would be a much fairer assessment if they did it like that. But you can't do that everywhere, I guess.
Hey, Mike, this is the first time you've had a crack at Winks. We've heard from everyone else during the week. You did the times and you put the times out to everybody on how well and how strong she did go. You've explained the firmness of the track and the wind, but just take us through your thoughts of how quick she ran.
Well, she's just a freak, isn't she? It doesn't matter what they serve up to her, whether she sits wide, whether she sits back, or whether she... And the funny thing about that, when she blew the start, not only did she blew the start, but she had her head sort of tucked around to the side, so she was completely flat-footed. Like, and she had to sort of straighten herself up, and then she crawled out of the boxes. Like, some of them missed the start and still sort of jumped quite quickly, but she absolutely was, she dawdled out like an old donkey. So, look, it was just the most amazing win, complimented by the best ride you'll ever see in your life. You could have put, and this is no disrespect to any other top jockey, you could have put in a majority of other top jockeys on her, not knowing her, and they probably would have got beat on her because they just, that little bit of panic would have crept in. They might have just gone that fraction too quick. But look, her last 600 was outstanding, even allowing for the fact the track was quick, because the leaders had it so soft up front. It was one of the slowest run races on the day, but she still, with that beautiful sense of timing by Huey, managed to gather him in. And you could see 40 metres out that he knew that he had the momentum up and he was going to get there in time. And I'd just like to know what sort of feeling he had going through his body when he knew the last 30 metres that he got out of jail and he was going to get there. That would have been really good to see.
Do you think she was assisted by them not going hard in that first 400 metres?
Well, I think she was assisted that did allow her to tack on without a great deal of effort. I do concede that. He sort of took his time and, you know, he tacked on, what, around about the 750 or just past the 750. So, yeah, I mean, they weren't walking, but she did get, like, if they had gone out and there had been some tearaway leader that had gone out, you know, six or eight in front, and she had been another four lengths further back, would have been game over and a record would have been, you know, her winning sequence would have come to an end. But, look, we all knew that there wasn't going to be a heap of pace anyway. And, look, there's no denying it was just a performance of an absolute freak.
Well spoken about you, Bowman. I think that's one hell of a story, just the way that he didn't panic, that he had the times in his brain, as you do, Mike, when you ride track work and in races, just exactly how quick you're going, and it was just a superb performance.
Joy to watch.
Yeah, it was a joy to watch. It certainly was. Let's get cracking with today. Hey, Ron, this is the A-list today, mate.
Let's hope so, Andrew. Let's hope so.
Bjorn Baker's our first guest. He's A+, well, that's what he keeps telling us anyway. Morning to you, Bjorn.
Morning, Andrew.
Mummy King, mate.
Yeah, Bjorn.
Mate, the three exciting runners today.
Yeah, no, things, well, hopefully we have a good day. It's been a good start to the day. Beautiful morning here at Warwick Farm. And, yeah, hard to beat mornings like this.
This horse addictive nature, Bjorn, he's off a freshen up at 1400. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I think he's a really nice horse. He's a high price yearling. He's shown a lot of ability at home. His trial sort of a week and a half ago was good. Really happy with how he looks. I think the 1400 will suit today. I think there's one scratching in the race, so he comes into gate six. So he's got natural speed. He'll put himself on speed, and I'm pretty bullish about him. I think he'll run well.
You said that. You're still happy to roll forward with him today?
Yeah, I think so. We'll just leave it to Tim, but he's got speed. And, you know, in a perfect scenario, I'd love him to get covered, but just with his gait, it may be tricky, and he's got natural gait speed, so we don't want to give that away.
Looking at his pedigree, he's probably bred to get a little bit longer, but what's your feeling with him this preparation?
Yeah, he is, but as I say, he's a very fast horse, so he's not your typical sort of Dow Savabeel. He's a lot faster than we've the fastest Savabeel I've had anything to do with. So we'll just take it one step at a time, see how today goes, and go from there.
The last race, Bonnie O'Reilly, we all know how good she is. She's a beauty. She's got a big weight, but she's earned it.
Yeah, she has. She's been a great horse for the stable, and she's in tip-top order. She didn't have too long out after Brisbane, and she's maintained her fitness. She did a couple of trials just to keep her up to the mark, but she looks fantastic. She's in great order.
Just do her thing, box seat there?
Yeah, she'll just put herself up there. She does that naturally, so happy with her going in today, and I think hopefully the draw can offset the big weight.
Your other runner in the race is the Plush. Well, it didn't happen for him last time.
No, it didn't. No, and I see there's a couple of scratchings in there, so he'll get in a little bit. But he's in good order. He's fairly consistent, probably except for last time. But he had excuses, and he looks well too.
Does he go forward as well?
We'll just see how the day plays out. I guess that was our aim last time. It didn't really work out, and I still think he's best with a bit of cover, so we may ride him a little bit more conservatively. It's the way I'm leaning, but we'll just see how the day plays.
One runner at the Gold Coast, positive problems, third up.
Yeah, I think she's pretty well. She looks good. She's in good order. She's travelled up really well, staying up there with Michael Costa, and he's going well. So, no, I think she'll run a good race, 1,200 maybe on the short side, but I thought her run last time was really good, so she's not out of it.
And one runner at Newcastle, our Royal Egyptian, race five, looks to have its foot on the till.
He does. He's been a bit costly for one or two as well. So third up today, 11.50, he'll roll forward. And one thing I'd say, he's a colt. He's taken a while to get fit, so he should be nearing peak fitness today. So hopefully that's in his favour, and we'll be positive with him.
Lovely.
Good luck, mate. Hope they run well wherever they are. Particularly addictive nature in that big feature race today.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, mate. Bjorn Baker there setting the scene. Beautiful morning out in Sydney, and it's a beautiful place for you today. Rose Hill, as we get stuck into the San Domenico meeting today. Just checking some early scratchings from this morning, guys. Singing has just come out of the Premier's Cup. Race 5, number 3. In race 6, number 8, Animalia has come out this morning. Race 6, number 8, and Viriglio. Race 8, number 10, has come out this morning as well. They're the extras. But Duff, Singing, which was a big double-figure odds, but it won't be resuming today in the Premier's Cup.
That's unfortunate, because he ran well in this race last year. He's been a bit of a problem child.
Yeah.
But let's hope everything's okay with him. And I thought, well, Animalia might be in at Newcastle on the Beaumont track today, and Virgilio just takes a bit of
Doesn't it?
Of speed out of that race. So there's probably some impact there.
We'll get Mike's early thoughts on the San Domenico in just a moment, but one of the key trainers is joining us now, Gerald Ryan, with Condor Heroes lining up in the race. Morning to you, Gerald.
Yeah, morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. I guess, you know, you've had Minari so far, and this is another exciting prospect three-year-old in the spring.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's always promised a lot. He's always gone good. He's had a few hiccups, but he appears to be going well now this time, yeah.
He had those problems leading into the Golden Slipper. Everything's, he's over all that now, Gerald?
Yes, Ron, yeah, he's had another problem or prep, like his child here, Rose Hill, in the autumn, and he twisted a hock, and then he bolted down the barriers in the Pago Pago, and then he won and then he ran in the kindergarten, and he twisted the joint just before he was going to go to Queensland. So, but this time he's been good as gold, no dramas at all.
You must be in two minds, well, tactically today.
Yes, yes. It all going to depend on how he begins, you know. A lot of speed joint underneath him. But I just think I'll just wait and see how the day pans out early. And I would imagine he'd probably be going forward, but how far forward, I'm not real sure at this stage. It just depends how quick they go underneath him.
Mm. I suppose with that little question mark, sometimes he's coming on the back foot, that wider barrier probably doesn't come into effect as much.
No, exactly right. If he steps clean, well, I dare say he'd be over outside the leader. If he happens to be a step slow, well, you know, you're huge risk of being caught three and four wide, or you just go back and ride him back up to speed. You know, it's just going to be entirely, you know, Tim's going to have to sum it up in the first 100 yards, you know.
Yeah.
Gerald, just on the second trial with Condor Heroes, Tim Clark was on, and he was able to settle back. Was that something you wanted in that trial following that first one where he ran away?
Yeah, well, Tim said to me, what sort of trial you want? And I said, just go out and prove everyone he's just not a mad tearaway runner. And Tim said he'd come out and just drop straight in his neck and he relaxed terrific, you know. But you know, you want to try and teach him to settle a little bit. You can't have him tearing away, especially in the race that he's aiming him at. You can't have him run 100 mile an hour up front all the time. You won't have a horse left by the time you get there. And also, well, you'll run yourself into the ground. But he said, like, when he missed the start and when Mark Sarah rode him, he said he got on the bit for about 80 yards. And he said then he switched off and relaxed terrific. Well, he's been like that basically all this time in, you know.
Mm. So he's not a hard-going horse at home on the track?
Oh, yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, he can pull hard. You know, he has draw reins and that on all the time. And he you can't. Like you can go out there some days and just go five evens and work on them really nice without pulling the other days, or you've got no hope. But you know, if you get to the Beanie's bonnet, well, it's pretty hard to stop, as Tim found out going the barriers on them. What's the name, you know?
Yeah, true. Your other runners, Mara Quita, well, she got the claim and the extra distance today. You have to be a knockout chance there.
I think so. You know, she keeps the pent out of the race she's going to be run, but hopefully today she doesn't get as far back. You wouldn't think she would in a 1500, but I've taken the earmuffs off her today. I just wonder whether they had much to do with it. And I jumped her out here the other day without the earmuffs on her, and she went quite good, and she didn't tail out as much over 600 metres as I expected her to. So, you know, change of gear might help her take a bit better posse in the race, you know.
Tango Rain in race three, he's had a run under his belt now after that break.
Yeah, he's done very well. He's improved off that run at Randwick. Another one that's had terrific preparation. Nothing's gone wrong, and he looks really good, and he worked terrific here the other morning, and I'm really happy with him. He makes his own luck. He's going to put himself right up on top of the speed, and you know, he's got a big weight, but you know, I reckon he's going to be awfully hard to beat there. Mm.
And the Pharaoh's up in distance in race eight.
Yeah, I don't think that's a huge problem for him. He's always given the impression he'd get at least this far. He's obviously doesn't have to lead neither. He led the other day because there was no speed in the race. I think one of his better runs was his last run in his first preparation in the 1400. He sat back behind him and he hit the line good. And you know, it just depends how quick they want to go up front, whether he leads or whether he takes a sit. But he's again, you know, Jay's going to have to work it out in the first 80 yards because he begins so quick. Well, if there's a lot of speed there, we'll take it up. If someone wants to go mad, well, we'll take the sit on him.
What's the latest report on Minari?
Oh, he's going really good. Done well. He's maintained his weight. He looks good. Worked terrific here yesterday morning. Josh Park coming rode him yesterday, and he worked terrific here yesterday morning. So whether he trials again before the Golden Rose, I'll make up my mind after he works on Tuesday. But I'm tipping fitness-wise, he doesn't need it. But he's very well, yeah.
So just definitely straight into the Golden Rose.
Yeah, he'll go to the Run of the Rose in a fortnight today.
Yep,
and then
straight
to the Golden Rose. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. All right,
we'll worry about it later.
Yeah, been a bit happening on the on that front. A few nibbles.
No, not really.
Not really. Not really. No.
There will be if he wins the Golden Rose. Don't worry.
There will be if he wins the Golden Rose. I think there's plenty of money for 3-year-olds without 3-year-old racing without taking on those good, hard, and tough sprinters, you know.
Is there any comparison at all between Condor today and Minari, just in the line of fitness, in the line of anything comparing the two?
I think Minari probably had a bit more improvement fitness-wise first up than what this horse today is. He's pretty fit, this horse today, yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to it. Good on you, Gerald. Good luck today.
Okay, thanks, boys.
Good on you. Gerald Ryan joining us there. Mike, I'll bring you into the San Domenico. In an hour, we'll be going through the full preview, but how do you see it today, mate? How attractive is this race?
Oh, it's a super race, isn't it, Andrew? I mean, we've got Pariah first up from a spell. He's a Canterbury winner that's got a victory over Minari. We've got Taking Aim, the Ken Russell winner. We've got Chauffeur, and second in the Magic Million to Hootson, who's you know, right in the mix there for the Everest. We've got the one we just spoke about, Condor Heroes. He's an untapped horse that... He has had his issues, but I mean, if he puts it all together, he could be anything. And we've got the Hayes Davenac horse down the bottom there, you know, that's got plenty of ability. I'm really interested to see how Pariah goes, because after he won the Canterbury, he performed really well in the Blue Diamond. His only failure was in the Golden Slipper on that bog track. So this is a tip-top race full of... And, of course, we've got Brett Kavanagh's horse. He's gone from a maiden to a class two straight into the San Domenico with this horse, another sin. So, you know, I would think it's probably a bridge too far for him. But why has he put him in here? He rates him big. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs too.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was just going to say, we've also got Jorda, the bottom man, the filly back.
Yeah, she's an interesting horse.
She's a very interesting runner. She's a gym crack winner. She's only had the one start for one win. She started favourite in that race. She's been off the scene for a long time, but she's had two beautiful trials. So super race. Can't wait for this one. And the Ming Dynasty. It's also full of juice.
Yeah, it is for sure, the race before that. John Thompson's about to join us. But, Duff, this week with Pariah, talking with Peter Snowden yesterday on Sky Radio and also Blake Shin back on Tuesday at Trackwork Morning, they seem to be so confident with Pariah.
Yeah, it's a lot of confidence there. You know, sometimes you get these well-bred colts at this time of year. They like to talk them up. So there's a fine line, but there's no evidence to say that they shouldn't be talking him up. Looking at his couple of barrier trials, he looks very, very sharp. So I'm interested in what they do with him. We all say, oh, he's going to be back last, but he has got his own speed. If you go back through his replays, he's never been asked to use his speed, but he has got a lot of speed if he wants it.
Yeah, really great race, the San Domenico. This is Racing HQ, being heard on Sky Sports Radio, seen on Sky One and Sky Thoroughbred Central every Saturday as well. And John Thompson's our next guest. Morning to you, John.
Good morning.
How you been, mate? Going back to the trials earlier this week, Naita did it nicely again.
It's good, yeah. She's in good shape and runs today week. So look forward to that.
Is she has she developed a bit more going into the spring?
A little, yeah. She's done well in the break. She went out in good order. She only had a couple of runs last prep, so she went out before she got bottomed out, and she's put on some good condition, and yeah, she's in good shape.
John, are you running like Kingdom Come or pulling him out of the Ming Dynasty?
No, he's running today, Ron.
Okay, we got a jockey.
Glenn Schofield.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that throws a bit more interest in there. He looks a nice horse. I really liked his latest trial.
He goes well. Today might be a little bit short for him, but he'll be hitting the line strongly.
Okay. Your other runner, obviously, is Special Missile. He's just gone from strength to strength.
Yes, he's gone through his grades well. Ever since they've gelded him, he's become very professional and genuine. And yeah, he's gone through his grades well, carried a bit of weight each time. Each time we've raised the bar, he's cleared it. So hopefully he can go well again today.
Well, you've offset that weight up increase with that claim for Blake, so he sort of fits in there with the same weight as he had last time.
That's it. That's a worry today, going from Brenton to the apprentice. But in saying that, he knows the horse very well. He rides him every morning, so... And he's a pretty easy horse to ride. He's straightforward. I'd imagine Gerald's horse is drawn inside us. They'll just both go forward and make their own luck. So pretty easy ride for him.
Yeah. And he showed you no signs of training off. He's coping well?
No, he's been well. Between each run, he pops up to Emerin Park there at Wire for a week on the water treadmills and just keeps him mentally fresh and comes back and he's ready to go again. So he looks fantastic and he's given no indication he won't give another bold showing.
The team have done a mighty job here, John. I mean, to win four races on the trot anywhere, particularly coming through your grades, the team's done a pretty good job placing so far.
It's been good up until now. It's hard to do, I've got to say, to win a few on the end. You know, they sort of wait you out of things, but he's been lucky. We've found the right races at the right time, which can be very difficult at times as well. But he's going well, and it makes a difference when you've got a horse that's as professional as him.
Yeah, no, he's been a super horse coming through for the connections, for sure. Anything else, Duff?
No, I think we've covered everything there. And let's hope he can continue on his winning way.
Yeah, let's hope so. Good on you, John. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
John Thompson there. It is, Mike, isn't it? I mean, you analyse all these horses all the time with your speeds and things, but to win four on the trot, it's a big effort.
Oh, certainly is, very much so. It's, you've got to keep them up, you've got to keep them focused, you've got to keep them happy, and you've got to get the right run throughout the race four times in a row. So, yeah, it's not a Herculean task, but it's a special effort for sure.
Yeah. Gretna, guys, has just come out of the second, race two, number three. Gretna, it was right in the market there, Duff.
Yeah, raced on Wednesday,
yeah.
Andrew, and
yeah,
performed below par, so wasn't a surprise to see. Now we've got no leader there at all, Ronnie. They'll be going backwards.
No, that's a a really interesting race now. There's sometimes that can sort of spring everyone into action, but...
Sprung me into action on Thursday night when I saw that it raced on Wednesday. I thought, I don't think Chris will back this up. So I've had a little dabble at a roughie there at a bit of a price.
Well, can't wait, okay, later on we'll tune in to that one.
All right, you've given us a good tease there. We can't wait to look at race two with Mike. Matt Dunn's online with another big chance today in the Tab Highway. Morning to you, Matt.
Morning, how are you?
Good, mate. How was your local cup day? You deserved a good one. I hope it was.
Yeah, they did a great job yesterday, actually. The management of the club here has really improved over the last 6 months or so, and they got pretty sold a lot of tickets, and they had a good day. We won one race. We didn't have a run in the cup, but on the whole, the day went well for everybody.
Lifesavers, interesting runner here, because... talking to you Tuesday and then Wednesday morning, you weren't really planning to come, were you?
No, our original plan was to stay home, not because I don't think he can win today. More so looking forward, my idea with him is to probably try to get him to the anniversary race on Everest Day, and whether he needed another trip to Sydney or not between that race and now. I wasn't completely sure, but he drew a difficult gate up here and... the right barrier down there, and the race did drop away a little bit from noms to acceptances, so he was in good shape, so we decided to send him down Wednesday night.
So he has done well since his... it was a pretty tough first up run. He had to fight hard there.
Yeah, he has done well, and you'll see him in the yard. He's really come on since his first up running. We've got to keep in mind he's coming off a knee surgery and a pretty big break first up, and he was probably entitled to be on empty, maybe from the 50-metre mark onward, and that coupled with the 6 kilo difference in weight was probably the difference between him winning and losing on his last start. So, he's improved. I haven't done massive amounts of work with him. He's had a big turnaround, another trip to Sydney in between. But he looks great, and you'll see that in the yard today.
And no changes. He just pushes forward there.
I think so. He crosses the horses inside without any problem. I don't know. There's a couple outside him that might press, but we're happy to lead or box seat or wherever he ends up. He's got natural gate speed and we'll use it.
Your other runner is on the day is Miss Dubois. It's only had a couple of runs for you. She's a well-exposed sort of a mare, but she's got quite honest form.
Yeah, she has, and that's probably the right way to describe her, is honest. She turns up and does her best. She was good last start. She's in a stronger race today, but I think she's a little bit better. Body weight's increased by, I think, 7 kilos since she ran last start, which is important because she's only a slight mare. She's not robust by any means. And, her work on Tuesday was strong, and she's going into this race from a good gate with a good jockey on, and she'll give some sort of sight at some point.
Yeah. You know her background? She's only had 14 starts for a 7-year-old.
Patrick Payne had it before me, and she's got not been beaten far in a listed race a couple of starts before I got her, and she's been up for a little while. She went through a sale and was halfway through her preparation when I took her over. She's got plenty of that to give, and as I said, she's only slight, but she could achieve something really good when she goes for a break and comes back and just allows her to put a little bit more weight on and carry a bit more condition. She could maybe win at least at level.
Okay. Just a couple of runners there at the Gold Coast. Londa Hero Race 2, he's always a chance in a race like this.
Yeah, and he's great at the moment too. He's flying. He's got his friends on board, and he seems to click really well with him. His big space between runs helps him. 1,200 probably better than 1,100, but he's going to get back, and as long as they're coming from behind, he'll be in the finish.
Race 5, Count Kamani, he's won his past two.
He's not running. He's
not going to run. Okay. Delightful feeling running.
Yeah.
He'll run. He's had one start back. He usually takes maybe one or two runs to get into the groove, but he's going well. He'll run okay today, but maybe third up. He might be better placed.
Beauty.
Good on you, Matt. Good luck with Lifesaver. For all the connections, the it's been well documented how many you've won at the Tab Highways. Have they been different owners?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the good part about it. All my owners have supported sending them down. It's a bit of an ask to throw them on a truck and take them 10 hours away, and it's an expensive process for everybody, but when it comes off, everybody's happy, and even if it doesn't, it's a good day out. I've got one owner there in particular that you'll see in Sydney today that owns a share of nearly all my horses. He he'll be there cheering him home. So, no, everyone enjoys it. It's been a good incentive, and it's helped us a lot in more ways than what you could imagine.
You said at the very start when it was announced that you'd be supporting it, you've done more than that. You've been winning them, mate. So good luck today with Lifesaver.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Matt Dunn joining us from Mwilumbah. Ron, it has been a great thing for country folk to come down. We had the story with another sin just a couple of weeks ago, but Matt Dunn has been a driver in it, hasn't he? He's just been so consistent winning them.
Well, he's worked out a system there, and it seems to be working, and he's he knows what horses to bring down. You know, he's got a nice team now, but he gets them, through their maiden or their class one stage and just assesses that they're all lightly raced horses. And, some of these horses have been up and going around forever, and he just picks his mark, and he's doing it an outstanding job at the moment. So it's a competitive race today.
I've got to say, too, that the these highway races also showcase his talents as a trainer. That's another offshoot to winning these races. It showcases his talents as a trainer and opens more opportunities for him.
And I think some of these tried horses that he's got is showcasing his talents even more. Mm,
yep.
He's had a lot of tried horses that he's, I must say, have improved, and they've got a level of consistency about them that making people open their eyes.
Yep.
Righto, that's Matt Dunn, who just joined us on Racing HQ. Just waiting for scratchings to go interim. At this stage, we're sitting on 13. We'll stand by for those. And still to come on our interviews, Blake Shin, Michael Hawks, and also Adrian Bott to talk about their runners today. We'll take a break. This is, as I say, Racing HQ.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our huge projected tote pools on the racing action this weekend. Today, there's a $175,000 projected Big Six pool at Rose Hill Gardens. And tonight, we've got an $85,000 projected quaddy pool at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, it's almost Father's Day, and I've been thinking.
That's a first.
What's the perfect gift idea for switched-on dads like me?
That's a lot of Bing Lee.
Like the latest Apple iPhone or Samsung Galaxy smartphones?
Yes.
The Fitbit smartwatch?
Yes.
Or what about a DJI drone?
Yes, but not for you.
Mum, I can drive anything.
And you do. For Lano, do you know the perfect Father's Day gift?
What?
Why you chose with love.
Oh, Mum, I'm lost for words.
Finally, check out our Father's Day gift idea at Bing Lee.
Join the Dynamic Syndications Gay and Adrian team. We're offering a fabulous filly by Medaglia Doro, sire of 103 stakes winners, 17 at Group 1 level, including the Gay Train Slipper Sensation Vancouver from Catalan Bay. Winner of 3 races in Group 2 performer, second Dan Kim Angel, was a Group 1 Derby winner.
She's very much like Vancouver. She's got size, length, and there's something about her that all of us like.
Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
And they're off. Italian Suit takes the lead, followed by Jimmy in the members' stand. He takes a seat. It's not his seat. He goes inside. He's on the dance floor, first in, best dressed. He takes the win in the Cheeky Canapé. Champagne all round in the cocktail bar.
Expect unexpected at the Sydney Spring Carnival, including the Everest, the world's richest turf race. Royal Randwick and Rose Hill Gardens, September 9 to November 7. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Racing HQ is brought to you by Tab. Bet you'll love a $175,000 projected Big Six pool at Rose Hill Gardens today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
And starting with Rose Hill, those scratchings have just gone to final. Rose Hill, a beautiful day out there. Good 3, penetrometer 4.51, and the rail is at 6 metres. Final scratchings. Race 1, takeout number 10, La Quao. Race 1, number 10. Race 2, number 3, Gretna. Race 2, number 3. The third is clear. Race 4, number 1, King Viv. And 13, Eureka Street. 1 and 13. Race 5 at Rose Hill, number 3, Singing, and 10, Miss Dubois, 3 and 10. Race 6, number 8, Animalia, number 8. Race 7, takeout 3, Tulip, number 3. Race 8, number 8, Nat King Koo, 10, Villigio, and 11, Dorf Star, 8, 10, and 11. And race 9, number 8, Sunny Victory, and 10, Den Pur, 8 and 10. So they're the 13 final scratchings. A couple of jockeys. Race 5, number 4, centre pivot, is Glenn Schofield. And the one that we've got this morning, Thy Kingdom Come, race 6, number 10, also Glenn Schofield, race 6, number 10. So we haven't been affected too much there, Ron, apart from obviously Gretna that we knew that was probably coming out.
No, I think everything's pretty sweet there, Andrew. It's we've escaped anything, major shocks or anything like that, bit of tempo-related stuff, that's about it.
Yep, Medinity, as we know, runs for Hayes and Dabernick in the race, and Tulip runs down in Melbourne. They decided to split those. Blake Shin is our next guest on Racing HQ. Morning to you, Blake.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you going? Good.
Yeah, very well, mate. You're bouncing along in a real good, I get the feel, in a really good place. You went to America, had good success, you've come back, and you've been able to maintain that good form.
Yeah, no, things are going along nicely. Obviously had a great time in the States, and going along particularly well now, and finding some good form, and just starting to hot up now into the Spring Carnival with some nice rides, and obviously the good races are starting to come around now, which I'm really looking forward to. And today's the start of really the Spring Carnival, and riding a horse like Pariah really excites me, and the trainers and jockeys there's a real good vibe around, so it's a great time, and this is what it's about, certainly, Andrew.
Like, I haven't spoke to you since your American experience, and obviously if things went well, it's a tough place to get into. Would you do that again?
Look, I will do it again. Yeah, Ron, I've got a 5-year visa. Obviously, the trainer I went over for, Wesley Ward, he's a world-renowned trainer. He's one of the best around. He takes horses to Royal Ascot and been successful probably for the past 5 or 6 years. And got a really good relationship that I formed with him through Gay Waterhouse. So, I will look to go back next year, and who knows what that could lead to, but Sydney and Australia will always be home. I think we've got the best racing here in the world, in my opinion, and I will base myself here, I think traveling around can only enhance yourself as a rider, and that's what I will be looking to do in the future, because I think I have grown up as and matured as a rider from my experience in the States, but now the time is to be home focusing on the spring, and I can't wait.
And just on that, I understand you're going to Victoria this week. You're going to ride a bit of work at Euroa for David Hayes. That's just looking outside the square, I guess. Maybe at the Everest, who knows what unfolds in the future.
Yeah, look, Andrew, I have picked up the ride Saturday week in the Memsey Stakes on a horse called Toes and Stardom for Darren Weir and Australian Bloodstock, and that's a great pickup. And I'm going down there. I've got a commitment to go down on tomorrow, actually. I've got a family's, one of my aunties' a birthday, so I thought I'd use the time wisely and go and ride some work down there and for some of the leading stables, and we'll go to Euroa. I've done that previously, and David Hayes and Tom Dabernick have been used me in the past, so hopefully that could lead to some nice rides in the spring. Mm.
What is your situation like? If things are tough with commitments, you've got English, obviously you could ride her in the Everest, or you've got Guineas Day the same day, you've got horses like this Pariah, you don't know where he's headed. Have you made commitments as far as that's concerned?
No, nothing's locked in at this stage. Obviously, I've got the call on English to ride her. I'll be riding her first up, and we'll just take it run by run. Obviously ride for James Harron and his owners, and we'll be guided by where his horses run. So, I'm in a good position, but there is a lot to play out.
Pariah, all the reports seem positive.
Yes, all the reports seem very positive. He is a very exciting horse. He does appear to me to have come back really well from a 2-year-old, and his trial behind Winx was exceptionally good, and you know, I'm really looking forward to sitting on him today.
What's your feelings with a 6 metre rail on a dry Rosehill track and outside draw probably getting back here?
Yeah, he'll probably will settle back given the way the race looks to unfold. But, you know, I haven't got a real firm opinion on, you know, how the track will play just yet. I'll just have to wait and see how it's going to unfold. I'm mindful of how the track may play, but, time will tell.
Pumpkin Pie in race three, first ride on her, but drawn for the right run.
She has. Look, I think she's in with a great show. Her trial looked to be, you know, fantastic, and she's obviously, you know, shown that she's a lovely, lovely filly last preparation that came through the grades nicely, and... yeah, I was super impressed with her trial. She's got a big weight today, which, you know, isn't ideal, but she's a quality mare now, and looks to get a lovely run in transit. And yeah, I'm really happy to have picked up the ride on her today.
Chatelard race four. He's a winner. He's 3 from 3.
He sure is, and not easy to do. You know, he did a great job last start. You know, that was obviously his second start, and he was meeting. Third start, sorry, and he was meeting seasoned horses, and you know, getting in a ding dong battle from the top of the straight, he was there to be beaten. But I love the way he sort of gritted his teeth and, you know, wanted to win, albeit it wasn't that big a margin. He showed good fighting qualities, and that was a sign of a really promising horse. And hopefully, he's taken a good step from that. He drops in weight, and he meets a similar field. There may be one or two that's, you know, that a little bit come from sort of different form lines, but hopefully if he's taken a step from that run, which I'm hopeful that he has, that puts him right in the mix, and he's drawn a great barrier, and I think he's in with a fantastic chance.
Race six, the Ming Dynasty, have you been on Hypnotist back?
Yes, I have. I've obviously trialled him. I've had a lot to do with him at home, but haven't been on him race day. I've trialled him since his last run and galloped him. He's a nice horse. He goes well, obviously going up in grade today, but I think he's going to be competitive. He's drawn well. Coming back in distance doesn't pose too much of a concern because Peter and Paul have got him really fresh, ready to go. He should bounce, put himself in a lovely spot. He's going very well, and I expect him to be very competitive.
Race 8, Rock M'Lady. Not a lot of luck last start at Kembla.
that's true. You know, still trying to get out. But I thought, you know, he's going well. He didn't have much luck, and that was a sign that showed me that he's going terrific and you know, we're confident to take the ride. And the only thing is, you know, we've drawn an awkward barrier today, and, you know, the track may be against him, but, you know, if he can have luck in running, I'm sure he's going to be charging to the line.
What do you think of this horse in the last No Doubt? He seemed to travel and loom up there and just blew out the last bit there first up.
Yeah, 100%, Duff. He over-raced a little bit. He raced a bit fresh, and that probably was detrimental to him really attacking the line that last 100. But when he got out, I thought he was going to win. He's proven that he's up to a good level, and I think, you know, he will have certainly taken benefit from that first up run, and I expect him to go very close to winning today with the right run. And like I said, he just overdid a little bit first up. He's always promised, you know, and raced at a good level. And yeah, I'm looking forward to riding him today. And if things go well in transit, he should be hard to beat.
Beautiful.
Yeah, $12 right down, No Doubt. Mike, I know you've got a question for Blake.
Yeah, morning, Blake. How are you, pal?
Yeah, very well, Mike.
I just wanted to touch back on this American trip of yours. It's well documented that the racing over there is pretty much jump and run and all helter-skelter. Now, you rode quite a few winners there. I was just wondering, I didn't actually get to see much vision of you riding. Did your patient Australian style sort of help you ambush them in the latter stages of several of those wins, or did you adapt and win most of them up on the speed?
No, I actually rode quite a few winners from behind. I rode probably six winners on the turf, and a lot of them came from off the speed. But I had to adapt very quickly to the pace because I was going to get left behind because they just jump and run. And for the first 10 days, I was honestly like a two-year-old with blinkers on for the first time, I tell you. But I picked it up. You know, I had to pick it up quickly because, I wasn't going to adapt. But it was a great learning curve. And, then I ended up winning a couple of races on the dirt from in front. So it was a mixture of both. But adapting to the pace and understanding the horses and trying to get their rhythm. It all looks like they've got to go 100 mile an hour and fast, 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 but you still got to actually ride the horse, to best suit the horse to win the race. So once I was able to establish that, winners came, and they came at the latter stages of my 5 weeks. But I feel if I stayed longer, then I was going to keep continuing to do well.
What about their jockeys? We don't see much of their jockeys. Do we rate their jockeys? Are they one dimensional? Are they as good a horseman as other riders in the world?
Honestly, Duff, it's a good question, but I put these jockeys up, the best in the world. I rate them right up there. I rode against some guys like, these guys are winning, 5 to 10,000 races, in their career, and it's amazing. They're tradesmen, they work really hard. I'm actually in awe of them, and it's really good. Their worth ethic is really to be admired. And they're really clever in how they ride their races, and it was something that I observed every day and how they go about their business, and they have to ride differently because of what tracks are on dirt. We might see horses racing off the track, but horses hate kickback, so they've got to ride. They have to ride smart. But when they get on the turf, then they ride more like Australian riders, and the good ones can adapt to both tracks. So it was great to see, and I'm looking forward to going back next year, and hopefully we can compete in some of the bigger races.
Beauty.
Good on you, Blake. Great explanations there. Let's hope there's some joy today. Pariah, the big one in the San Domenico. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Any time. Thank you.
Good on you. Blake Shin joining us there on Racing HQ. For people that may not be aware, he spent 5 weeks in America, going back to probably June, July, and he rode really well and rode plenty of winners up there, for those that may not have been aware of that. It's a terrific day out at Rose Hill. It's ASX Thomson Reuters Charity Race Day. Big functions in the Grand Pavilion, and Michael Hawkes might be celebrating below them in the yard today. Mike, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. I'll ask the obvious, and then Duff can pick it up as well. Chautauqua, everything good this morning after yesterday's trial?
Yeah, he was good. He pulled up nice and bright this morning, had a good trot around, and he went good, and he's pulled up great. So everything at the moment is A-OK.
Fantastic.
So what do we do? What's the program into the Everest?
Looked after, you'll probably have another trial.
Yep.
You'll probably trial here at Rose Hill. I think it's Monday week. And then obviously, depending on that trial, what we do and where we go, obviously the shorts are there in Sydney, and it's probably a race that we are looking at. But, we wanted to see how we got over this trial first, and obviously give him a second trial, and then decide on what we do and where we go. But he hasn't been back in Sydney this part of the year for a long time. He's always done his preparations in Melbourne. And so it's a little bit different, obviously, a different program. But, he's no different to any other time. We're just treating it as it is. But he'll definitely trial again, and then we'll sort out what we do and where we go. But maybe the shorts, and obviously premiering into the Everest.
Mahalunga, Nice strong win on his debut. He's just out of maiden class, but he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he does. Look, it's fair to say he won very good. You know, we sent him there to win, and obviously that was the agenda, and Toby rode him very good on that day, and he did everything right. But, you know, look, he's getting thrown in the deep end. People have to realise that. He's up against some opposition that have, you know, been there before a few times before him, and he's only had the one start. And, yes, look, he might be a promising colt going forward, but you've still got to go and do it. So, you know, it's a nice race for him at this time. It's the right distance. Yes, he is thrown in the deep end, but, you know, we're pretty happy with him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be running. But it is a big jumping class, and obviously today will determine sort of where he's headed and what he's doing.
Your other three-year-old today, Chauffeur, what do you make of him? It's his first run for you.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, he's got the form on the board as a two-year-old, but, you know, you always like to see them come back and progress from their two-year-old into their three-year-old, and look, his runs were good last time. He probably doesn't like wet tracks, and I think today, you know, with a good surface, there's a lot of speed. You know, he'll just be jumping and, more importantly, having him comfortable where he needs to be, and I think he's going to hit the line solid. Obviously, it depends how hard they go. If the harder they go, the better he's going to finish off. But, look, he's a quality colt, first up for us. He's done everything right. He's had a couple of nice trials. He looks a pitcher. Can't fault him. A lot of speed. It's the right race.
Mm. And your other runner, Cosmopol, he did it tough there first up. Poor old Ray Thomas is a nervous wreck, but he could he improve today.
Look, honestly, he gave him no peace first up. He was wide and just you had to forget the run. But the problem with this bloke is we've had to sort of come to a Saturday grade. Ideal, I would have liked to have maybe been 1,200. He's coming back to the 11, but he probably just gets a bit of too much weight in the midweeks, unfortunately. So, you know, obviously, we've taken on the Saturday grade. On his day, he's an honest, genuine horse. 1,100, maybe a bit too short for him, but obviously, once again, it depends how hard they go. But I can't fault the horse. He looks really good. So, hopefully, Ray's got a little bit something to smile about today.
Ray is in the ownership, but there's a couple of other mighty people in the ownership too, Mike, that would be happy tonight if it ran well.
Yeah, Paul Green, the coach of obviously the North Queensland Cowboys, he's there, and there's a couple of other high-profile clients in the horse, but look, so long as he runs good, you know, he's an honest, genuine horse that puts his best in, but if he gets a clear crack at him, as I said, to Duff, you just got to forget his first-up run.
Is Reflectivity the best of the three at Newcastle?
Look, he's done super, Ron. He should be probably going there and winning, to be fair. You know, it's only a small fielding. There's a couple of scratchings out now, and he's done super. His trial was really good. He's just got to equivalent that trial to, obviously, race day, and, you know, he's going to be very hard to beat. The filly up there, thinking like a bird's first up. She trialled well. She'll run good. And Storm Force, well, we've stretched him out a little bit, obviously, 1350, and he just needs to get the breaks in between mid-races. So, look, they're all nice chances.
Beautiful.
Good on you, mate. Good luck today.
Cheers. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Michael Hawkes wrapping up track work. You can hear the horses in the background. Ahead of the scratchings, Adrian Botts online from his and Gay Waterhouse's stable. Adrian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew.
Looking forward to this San Domenico. We've been talking about it with a number of guests. Give us your thoughts on Speed Street.
Yeah, look, it's certainly shaping up to be a nice race, competitive race. Speed Street's a nice colt for us going forward. I do think he'll be better placed when he gets over a bit further in his career, I guess. You know, initially, we were quite surprised at the early speed he showed last campaign, I guess, over the 1,000 metres. But he's training like he'll appreciate getting over a little bit further. But we've deliberately kept him a bit fresh and just with the one trial going into the race, just so he's got that speed over the shorter trip. But no doubt he's one to follow for us going forward and deeper into the campaign.
You mean Dynasty Runner is runaway. He broke through for a good win last start.
Yeah, really did. He's just starting to put it all together. He's always proven to be a colt above average, but there was a lot to like about that last starter. Loved just sort of how he pinged the gates and put himself right on the speed and just bowled around beautifully. And you know, importantly, you know, off the back of that sort of strong tempo, he was really able to quicken and show a turn of foot to put them away nicely. So I think if he can show that again today, you know, he's certainly got the class for a race like this. But again, another horse that we're probably looking a little bit further down the road, and once he gets over a little bit further. But in saying that, he's, you know, he's racing well, he's very fit, and you know, it's an ideal race for him on the way through.
and a couple of runners in the Premier's Cup broadside. How's he returned? 1900 first up.
Yeah, been very happy with the broadside. He's done quite a bit, I guess, to be at the 1900 first up. He's had a couple of trials, and he didn't have long out after his 2 mile run, so there should be plenty of residual fitness there. And you know, he's been working nicely, and he's always been a nice progressive type. And DIC, he was just ran off his feet early over the 1400 metres. It was an unsuitable race, but it sort of got him up and going. So I guess today over the 1900, hopefully he can put himself a lot closer and put himself in the race. But he's been working really well, and certainly expect a lot of improvement and see much better performance this time around.
And the Moonee Valley race won Sismontane, tough horse.
He has been. He's been very consistent for us, and he seems fitting well at the moment, just going from strength to strength also. I think the track might suit him there, and he will sort of always bowl along and give a great sight.
And some nice chances at Newcastle. What's the best of him there?
I think Social Element's probably the best. We've been dying to get him up to this sort of trip. I thought both his runs have been very competitive, and he seems to be in a great frame of mind at the moment. He's training well. He seems a very happy horse, and I think this is an ideal race for him.
Lovely.
Good on you, Adrian. Thanks. Good luck with all of them, mate.
Thanks very much.
Adrian Bott there. I tell you something, Duff.
Yep.
You've spread far and wide with your form. Often Newcastle or Kembla doesn't get a mention, but you've been all over it this morning.
Well, they haven't had a lot of runners today. There's a lot of trainers with a lot of runners, so we're just sort of spread out a little bit further today, Andrew. Anywhere a winner, we're looking
Any
for.
Price a winner too, Mike, I reckon, isn't it?
Exactly. He's done well this morning, Ronnie.
Yeah, he has. He's covered it all. All right, back in a moment, guys, and we'll start looking at San Domenico Day. I'm intrigued by Mike Fraser's thoughts in race two. He's given us a bit of a tease there. But right now, let's check out all the scratchings. We start for the big day at Rose Hill. For those in Sydney that haven't pulled the blinds back, it's a beautiful day. Fine and sunny. The track is a good 3. Penetrometer this morning, 4.51, and the rail is at 6 metres. Race 1, take out number 10, Loquano, number 10. Race 2, number 3, Gretna, number 3. The third is clear. Race 4, number 1, King Viv and 13, Eureka Street, 1 and 13. Race 5, number 3, Singing and 10, Miss Dubois, 3 and 10. Race 6 at Rose Hill, number 8, Animalia, number 8. Race 7, number 3, Tulip is out, number 3. Race 8, number 10, Nat King Koo, 10, Vergilio, and 11, Dorf Star, 8, 10, and 11. And race 9, number 8, Sunny Victory, and 10, Den Pur, 8 and 10. One rider there, race 6, number 10, Thy Kingdom Come, is Glenn Schofield, G. Schofield, on Thy Kingdom Come in race 6, the Ming Dynasty. We move now to the Beaumont track. That's right, we race on the Beaumont today at Newcastle. It's a soft 6 after 9 millimetres of rain in the last 24 hours. Overcast is where we sit on the Beaumont. Race 1, take out 3, Sports Star Samuel, and 6, Scretcher, 3 and 6 out of the first. Race 2, number 5, She's Demanding, and the emergencies 12, 13 and 14. The third is clear. Race 4, number 3, Schwabia, and 6, Edna Blue, 3 and 6. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 8, Capamore, number 8. Race 7, number 2, Dr. Kimball, 5, Waltzing Willie, and 7, Cool Prince, 2, 5, and 7. And race 8, take out 6, Sava Pinsky, race 8, number 6. That's the information for the Beaumont meeting. Another New South Wales meeting today is at Port Macquarie. They've had rain in the last 24 hours as well. The track is a soft 5. They've had 6 millimetres in the last 24 hours. The first 3 races are clear. Race 4, take out number 10. Race 5, take out the emergency number 11. And race 6, take out the 2 emergencies, 11 and 12. So very light on for scratchings at Port Macquarie. Overcast and a soft 5, and the rail is at 5 metres today. We go to Moonee Valley in Melbourne, Carline Stakes Day there. It's a good 4, chance of an upgrade. Penetrometer 4.72, and the rail is true. Race 1, take out 2 Master Zephyr and 6 Yogi, 2 crucial scratchings out of the first there, 2 and 6. Race 2, number 1, Sword of Light, and 14-hour video, 1 and 14. The third, number two, Medinity, and eight, Uptown Gal, two and eight. Race four of Mooney Valley, number four, Jamazar, 10, Municipality, and the Emergency, 16 and 18. 4, 10, 16 and 18 out of the fourth. Races five and six are clear. Race seven, number nine, Speedy Ore, is out, number nine.